All right, get your Bibles out, get your journals out. It's Joshua chapter 1. We're beginning a journey. Here's how I want to start the journey, because I want you to know that the Old Testament applies to us. The Old Testament is rich. The Old Testament, Romans tells us, is written for our benefit. So I want to start with this question. Is there anybody in the room that's going through any transition? Anybody? See a few hands, just a couple of hands. You know, like maybe you have new faculty members with new expectations, or maybe you have a completely new address because you just moved from somewhere else and now you've landed here and you're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. Can anybody in the room relate to having moved recently or ever feeling anxious? Or perhaps you have a fear of failure. Am I gonna be able to do this? Is this something that's actually gonna be able to happen? Perhaps you're a senior in the room and that anxiety is already setting in to say, what am I gonna do upon graduation? This is the last of these different things that are happening. This is my last first chapel with a new sermon series. This is my last whatever it may be, and you're thinking, okay, I gotta get a job, I'm gonna move somewhere else, I don't know what's gonna happen. Maybe you thought life would look very different than what it looks right now, and you have anxious feelings about it. Of course, you and I both can relate to all of these things, right? I know for a fact you can, because I have the statistics, because Barna never lies, right? And Barna says 1 in 4 of all Gen Zers feel anxious. In fact, out of that 1 in 4, 51% feel anxious about an important decision. Now, sometimes those important decisions aren't all that important, but they feel really important. Like, will you go have coffee with me? Yes or no? Okay, it's coffee. It doesn't matter. Get over it, all right? But it feels like an important decision. 47% of those 1 in 4 are afraid to fail. We get it. Can I do this? Am I gonna be able to pass these classes? Differential equations, chemistry. Abomination of desolation. Purgatory. Like, why do I have to know all of these things? And yet, you still have the feeling, can I do it? Uncertain about your future, 45%. It's even worse for college students. You're starting off with some good news, right? It's worse for you. 54% of you experienced emotional stress. Anybody relate? It's probably higher than 54%. The rest of the people just lied about it because they didn't want to admit it. 43% have mental health concerns, and 24% feel like they don't belong. So if you're in the room right now and you're like, I don't know if I belong. 24% of you are feeling this way. You're just not admitting it to each other. You're just calling mom or dad and telling them. So this is where you are. Now, where's Joshua? Because when we read Joshua, we already read the book. We already understand where it is. But pause for a second and put yourself in Joshua's shoes. So Joshua here at the beginning of the book is gonna get called by the Lord to do something that's pretty incredible, that's pretty daunting. So Joshua was one of the 12 spies. He's been in the land. He's one of two people right now that really knows what lies ahead of all of them. He saw the land. He saw that the people are strong. He saw that the cities were fortified. He saw that the cities were large. He saw the descendants of Anak, who they call the Nephilim, the giants. Remember, the report came back and said, we were as grasshoppers to these people because they were so big and they were so strong. And Joshua saw them firsthand. Do you think he had a little bit of anxiety about all this? The potential of a fear of failure? Not just that. Who is Joshua following? He's following Moses. He's following the guy that brought all of the plagues. So I'm sure people are looking at him going, all right, Joshua, what do you have? Moses has got flies and frogs and calls water out of a rock and can turn the rivers into blood. Show us what you've got. Can you throw down your staff and make it turn into a snake and pick it back up? Would you like to be the one that follows Moses? Following Moses is like being the guy that's supposed to replace Michael Jordan on the team. Like, good luck with that. And then the game starts and it's like, well, Jordan would just get the ball and take us all on his back and score 40 points in the fourth quarter. You're up. What you got? Remember how Deuteronomy ends? Verse 10 through 12 says, there has not arisen a prophet like Moses, none like him for the signs and wonders, for all of the mighty power and great deeds. How many of you want to follow Moses? No, thank you. Do you think Joshua's got any fear? I think so. I think he's human. In fact, I know he does, because if he didn't have fear, it wouldn't say in the first chapter, be strong and courageous four times. Like, repetition's one thing. This is redundant. This is where you get marked off by your English teacher for saying the same thing too many times. It's not important. And when she tells you that, you can just quote scripture next time. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. So, get up. Go cross the Jordan. Okay, Joshua, have you looked at the Jordan? It's flood stage. Wrong time of year. Let's wait 3 months and we'll think about this thing again. Now, understanding that Joshua can't do this in his own power, understanding that Joshua is following the greatest leader that has existed in Israel since that time, he's following the goat. Understanding that Joshua doesn't know how all of this is gonna happen, there is anxiety, there is uncertainty, all of these things that you're feeling, so was Joshua. What does the word of the Lord have to say to us? So if you're able to, would you stand as we read Joshua 1, chapters 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and courageous, being careful to do all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Dear Lord, as we look at this chapter, would you help us to see you in it? Would you help us to see your word? Would you help us to apply it to our lives? Lord, help us to be able to live faithful lives of good stewardship before you for your glory and for our joy. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. All right, if you're taking notes, here's your main idea. The main idea is to respond to God's call. He calls Joshua. Respond to God's call and presence. He promises to be with Joshua. How does he respond to this? With strong and courageous faith. So then too, we can apply this to our own lives. That when God calls us and God promises to be with us, we too should respond with strong and courageous faith. Here's our outline. We're gonna walk through this chapter quickly. First, we're gonna see that God commissions Joshua in verses 1 through 9. He calls him out, he commissions him. Second, we're gonna see that Joshua takes that and then he commands the people in 10 through 15. And then we're gonna see in 16 through 18 that the people then commit to Joshua. So we're just gonna walk straight through the chapter. As we walk through this chapter, we'll look at a few points. It begins here with, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Isn't that a great introduction? What's your qualifications for being in this position, Joshua? I was Moses' assistant. He was a servant before he was a leader. That's gonna come back again. because he also calls Moses the servant of the Lord, and he calls him that three different times in this first chapter, but he calls him that over 13 times in this book, depending on your translation. And so my application to all of us is we should not be waiting on a title or a position to start serving. We are called to be servants of the Lord. We are called to be those who serve and do whatever God wants us to do, wherever God wants us to do it. And college student, that means you. Because you don't have to wait till you get a degree, and you don't have to wait till somebody gives you a title, and you don't have to wait till somebody gives you a paycheck, and you don't have to wait till you have a position in order to serve the Lord. Right now, the daily things you're doing are the things that are going to equip you to either be in a position when you take care of the details or to not be in a position because you've never learned to take care of the details. You just want somebody to give you something. That's not how the world works. So right now, lock in. I'm going to be a servant of the Lord. That's my life's ambition, is to serve the Lord. And if that's your life's ambition, you can do it, and you can do it starting now. Joshua, he was the guy that was in the battle. But he realized that when he was in the battle against the Amalekites, that whenever Moses' hands were up, they were winning, and whenever Moses' hands were down, they were losing. He realized early on in a battle, and he wasn't afraid because he was there. He could have died. He was on the front lines. He was a brave and courageous person, yet he's reminded to be strong and courageous. He understood at that point, though, the battle is the Lord's. I'm just the servant who is going to be the minister of what God wants to implement. He was with Moses. He was Moses' assistant. He was a spy. He was one of the 12. He was one of two that brought back a positive report. If God is with us, then we can still do this. This is the Joshua that we're talking about. It's the Joshua that then Moses took, because his name was originally started with an H, and he named him Joshua because Joshua then means Yahweh saves. And when you come over to the Greek family, Joshua and Jesus are in the same categories. And so even in the renaming from salvation to Yahweh saves to a similar name in the Greek to Jesus, it is pointing us forward to say to us that Joshua is pointing us to the greater Joshua. Joshua is pointing us to Jesus. Jesus is the one that we are to follow. Jesus is the one that will take us ultimately to our promised land. And we're not going to spiritualize all of this, but this gives us a sign. This indicates to us that we're not following human people like Joshua. We're following the Lord who was with Joshua. That's our calling. Joshua, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, lest you think this is really insensitive, Deuteronomy tells us they had mourned Moses for 30 days. And so when God comes here and he's telling them, Moses is dead, now get up and go. It's not like he was just saying, Moses dropped dead. He's dead right now. Let's go. Leave his body behind. Don't even bury him. That's not what we're talking about here. There were 30 days of mourning. Now it's time to go. So Moses, my servant, is dead. Friends, you're gonna live with people, and you're gonna live under people, and you're gonna serve with people, and you're gonna put them on a pedestal even though you shouldn't. And all of us are gonna die. But God's work will continue on. His work continued through Moses, and Moses was dead. And for God's purposes, that was okay because Joshua was next and God could use Joshua. And when Joshua dies, there's somebody else that's next. And friends, in our churches and in our ministries and in our lives, there's none of us as human beings that should be put on a pedestal or followed, because we're servants of God and God alone, and everybody else is just another fallen servant of the one true God. So Moses is dead. So now for arise, he tells him, get up and then go over the Jordan. Do you know what I wish he would have said? Here's what I want. God gives me a command. I want him to say, here's the steps it's going to take in order for that to happen. So what's going to happen is, let me lay this plan out for you here so that you can get good and comfortable with it. In fact, I like the three mention rule. Like, I don't like anything big happening till it's been mentioned three times. So somebody mentions something to me, I'm like, yeah. The next time they mention it, I'm like, well, there's number two. Maybe they're still thinking about it. I don't even want to be asked to make a decision till the third time. So I would be like, okay, God, you mentioned it once. Come back and see me later, right? I mean, that's where we are in our lives. And yet here he goes, arise, go over the Jordan. Hey, wait a second, God, it's at flood stages. This is bad timing. This is not a good plan. What's he going to do? You and all this people, you take millions of people now and you take them across the Jordan, even though it's flooded, into the land. Notice what it says here, that I am giving to them. Whose land is this? This is God's land. When we get into some of the battles and some of the harder things that we're gonna deal with, you gotta recognize this was God's land to give. This was land that had been promised a long time ago to Abraham. This is land that had been promised to Moses. And this is God's judgment upon sinful people. And as he's bringing his judgment upon those who have rebelled against him, he's giving this land to the children of Israel so that they will go in and take possession of it. And they are instruments of God's divine judgment upon them. Now, God doesn't speak to us in the same way today. We are not instruments of God's divine judgment upon sinners. God will do his own judgment. But this is God's land, and he's going to give it to them. And so here he lays it out, and he says, I'm giving it to you, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you, just as I promised to Moses. So here, it's in the bottom corner of your slide. It's every single word. It's every single promise. All through this book, we're going to see this refrain and this repeat that God keeps his promises, that God is faithful. We can trust him. So he said he was going to give it to Moses. Now, is he going to do it? Why is the book of Joshua right here? He said to Abraham, you're going to have this land. He said to all of them, you're going to have this land. And now what we get to see is God keeps his promises. Why is that important for you? Because God has promised to be with you too. God has promised if you repent of your sins and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that you can be saved, that you can avoid the coming judgment because you can be united in Christ and God will look upon what Christ has done and forgive you by grace alone. Do we trust him? Every single word. That's what he says, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What a promise. But would we have believed it? Yeah, God, did you see the size of those Nephilim? Did you see those giants? I'm a grasshopper. God, there is no way. Have you seen the walls at Jericho? We can't do this, God. God, have you seen the size of that syllabus? God, you know I don't understand or like math. It's just me, not you. I'm just saying. How am I going to pass this class, Lord? God, insert your blank. We have doubts, don't we? We have fears. We have anxieties. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And here's what I want to say to you. If God is with you, and if you have repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, God is with you. You can make it through. Not because you're something special, not because there's anything good in you, but because God is with you. So based upon the presupposition that every single promise God makes is true and that God is going to be with us, and we'll come back to that because I don't think you believe it yet. Based off of those two presuppositions, we can then respond with strong and courageous faith. And that's what the text is calling us to. He says, listen, I'm keeping my promise to Moses, and I will be with you just like I was with Moses. And he gives you both of those things before he ever gets to the be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. So now we're there. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Verse 6, here's our response. This is our application. This is how we always respond to God's call on our life and to God saying, I'm going to be with you even though this is a hard thing. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, God gave it to them. God used all sorts of crazy things to make this happen. The walls fall down because shofars are being blown. That makes no sense. There are big hailstones that kill a whole bunch of people. There are bees that drive out people even before them, but not too soon, lest it turned into some wilderness, but just at the right time because God's taking care of this. But God uses us to do stuff too, and that should encourage you. Because God uses people like Peter, that means God could use people like us. God can use you to do more than you could ever think or imagine in this life if you will do what God says do. We'll get to that. Be strong and courageous. I'm going to cause you. You are going to cause this people to inherit the land. Well, it's God's. He gave it to them. We get all that. We understand it. So verse 7, only. He adds only. Be strong. And he adds another word. Very courageous. No anxiety, no fear. Not because I'm somebody, but because my God is. Not because I've got this, but because he does. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Oh, this is fun. Because you know, in higher education, they like to tell you all these things about like the JEDP theory, and they like to undermine Genesis, and they like to tell you, well, Moses may not have written Genesis. Moses wrote the Pentateuch because Jesus said Moses wrote the Pentateuch. But here you have Joshua coming right afterwards, and right afterwards he's talking about Moses, and he's talking about the law, and he's talking about this. As we read through Joshua, here's what I want you to have faith in. Here's what I want you to take note of and understand. All of the people trying to undercut the Bible and telling you it's a myth and telling you it's not true, this book is written in such a way that these are real people experiencing real fears and real anxieties, going into real places, and he goes into enough detail to make us nauseous about the real places that they're inheriting, because this is true and it's real, and there is a real God, and he is really faithful in my life and your life, and he will really keep his promises, and that's what we can have faith and trust in. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left. I don't know why it says the right hand or the left. Maybe it's talking about legalism, or maybe it's talking about liberalism or licentiousness. I don't know what it's talking about here. It just says, do the law. This is just plain, simple. Do what it says. Don't try to make it overly complicated. Do what the word of God says, and then you may have good success wherever you go. All right, we got to touch on this. We're going to have good success wherever you go, and then it says it's going to make your way to prosper. This is not a health, wealth, and prosperity promise. This is what God has commanded you to do. God will allow you to prosper and have good success in what he's commanded you to do. This does not mean that you can start whatever business you want to start and do whatever you want to do without God, and then all of a sudden pray and think God's going to bless whatever you're doing off on your own that God may or may not have wanted you to do. Now, if God called you to do this, then God can prosper you and grant you great success. But God is not a genie in a bottle responding to our every wish and whim. God is God. And we're going to see later in this that God's not for us or against us. He's the army of the Lord's captain. And it's our job to be on God's side doing what God has commanded us to do. So here he says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Again, repetition here. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Third time, be strong and courageous. In case you don't understand what strong and courageous means, do not be frightened. No fear. Do not be dismayed. No anxiousness. Okay. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So, God's with us, and every single word is true. So how is it that we're going to be strong and courageous? How is it that we're going to see this? I got a few things for you, a few application points here for you. You need to have daily time in the word. Verse 8 says, you shall not depart your mouth. Now remember, everybody didn't have a copy, so you would talk about it, you would read it, and this is like a murmuring or a muttering. This is like you're memorizing scripture so much that you've got scripture in your mouth. It is always with you, and it says that you meditate on it day and night. So I'll say to you, no Bible, no breakfast, because in the morning, that's when I do my quiet time. But this says to me, take it up a notch. You're still playing in the amateur levels right now. I want you meditating on scripture in the morning, and I want you meditating on scripture at night. When you wake up in the morning, I want scripture to be the first thing that's in your mind. And when you're going to bed at night, I want scripture to be the last thing you're praying back to God before you go to sleep. Scripture then, you see how important this is. The law of Moses is all they had. We've got much more. Scripture then has to be in our lives. And then detailed obedience. We are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We're to follow it. We read it. We see what it says. We do it. We do according to the law, being careful to do all that's written in it. And then we recognize our dependence on the Lord. God's going to be with us. If he's not with us, we have no hope. Okay, the good news is the rest of this goes really quickly. Point number two is that Joshua commands the people. Here, Joshua stands up And Joshua commanded the officers. Who are the officers? It's the people that Moses appointed to help him do all the administrations. It's probably not a standing army because they didn't have a standing army at this time, but it's the people who were supposed to do all of the hearing of the court cases and administrate to all of the people. And he says to all of the officers, go throughout the people, pass through the midst of the camp, and then command the people. So Joshua here is issuing commands through officers, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you are to pass over the Jordan to go and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Notice how he words this. He gets it. God said, I'm going to use you to give the land. He could have been prideful and arrogant and said, I'm going to be the one that takes you through this. You just thought Moses was good. I'm going to do what Moses can't do. But he doesn't do that. He says, go through and tell them to gather provisions. This is not like the flight out of Egypt where it's in a rush and it's in a hurry. They've got time. Get all of your stuff together. Get your act together. Get ready and let's go. We're going over the flooded Jordan. They probably asked questions. He probably said, I don't know. Just do what I told you to do. They probably gave you the mom and dad answer. Why do we have to do this? Because I said so. And that's all he had because he didn't know the rest of it yet. And so he told them, get your provisions. 3 days. We're going over the Jordan. We're going to take possession of the land that God is giving to us. And then he also talked to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, why does it say Moses, the servant of the Lord again? Why is that all throughout? Why did the author of this book want us to remember Moses, not as the commander of millions of people, not as somebody who did all these miracles, but wanted to remember, says Moses, the servant of the Lord. Remember the word that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing for you a place of rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your livestock shall remain the land that Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all your men of valor, give me your strongest, give me your best. You shall pass over armed before your brothers and shall help them. This is the tip of the spear. Until the Lord gives rest to your brothers as he has to you. And they take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving to them. Then you can return back to the land of your possession and you shall possess it. The land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward sunrise. Here's what I want you to know here. Joshua was told, arise and go. So what did he do? Lord, I'm not sure about this. Can I put out a fleece? Can I think about it? Can I wait? Can I take my time? He got up and he commanded the people, go throughout, get your provisions ready. We're going over. You people who are settled over here, you know what Moses said. You remember. Come on. Give me your men of valor. It's time to go. Joshua responded to God's call on his life and to God's commissioning of him with obedience. So what if Joshua were afraid to fail? What if Joshua said, this is too hard, I'm out? What if Joshua said, no, thank you? What if Joshua said, I'm not gonna put my foot in the edge of the Jordan River because it's flooded to see that the waters then stand up and God lets them walk across on dry ground? What if Joshua had said, no, thank you, Lord. This is too much. I can't handle this. But he obeyed. So I wanna say the same thing to you. Let's obey. When God calls us to do hard things, get up and go. One step, another step, and God will be with you. And if God has told you to get up and go, well, he keeps his word. So you don't have anything to worry about. All right, point number three here, the people then respond and they commit to Joshua. Look at what this is actually, this part of this is funny. They answer Joshua, all that you have commanded to us, we'll do. Wherever you send us, we're gonna go. There is a successful transition of power here. Whatever you want, we'll do. Now, here's where it gets funny. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. So if I'm Joshua here, I'm calling a timeout. You guys weren't very good at this, and you just told me you're gonna do the same thing over again. Let's just commit with that first part that we're gonna do it all. Because Moses had his issues, and I know, because I was Moses' assistant when all those issues were taking place. That's kind of funny. But look at their two conditions. They're marked by only. The people committed to Joshua. But look at it, verse 17. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses, exclamation point. And then look at the end of verse 18. Only Be strong and courageous. Not only did God tell Joshua three times to be strong and courageous, but the people thought there's no way this guy can do this. And they're telling him only be strong and courageous. Do you see it here? Do you feel the anxiety and the anxiousness and the fear of failure and the uncertainty that is sitting before us as we walk through this book? It's the same thing you're feeling in life. And I'm going to show you through this book, we're going to see that God is faithful to every single word. And in your life, you can trust because we read this pointing forward to the future that God will be faithful with you too. He wasn't just faithful to Joshua. He's faithful to all who are his. In between that, there's maybe a foreshadowing here. Verse 18, whoever rebels against you, whoever disobeys, well, we're going to put them to death. Does that foreshadow to Achan? I don't know. Maybe. All right, I've got some application points and we're done. Application point. Are you going through transition or uncertainty? Yeah. That's college. It happens every single semester. It's what we do. We put you in a room with somebody you don't know with a whole bunch of other sinners, and we call that discipleship. And then we throw you into classes with faculty members and overload you with work to make you anxious and to give you anxiety so you learn you can handle more than you ever thought you can handle because there's a God who is with you and he is faithful. This is what we do in college. We put the pressure cooker on you because we're preparing you for what's happening out there in the real world. You're not gonna be in the greenhouse forever. You're gonna be launched out and you need to be ready for it. So are you anxious? Yes, you're supposed to be. Are you going through uncertainty? Yes, because that's what we do. But you're going to be ready. So in the midst of it, don't waste the trial. Turn that trial into a triumph. Don't waste the pain you feel, but turn that pain into a platform to proclaim God's goodness and God's glory and mark it. When God is with you, write it down and keep a note of it. Remember it, because we're going to see them do this later on when we get to it. You make a note, God was with me, and here's where he was specifically with me. And the next time you have a trial, you pull it back up. You say, no, God was with me. He's there. He's got this. All I have to do is arise and go. Is the Lord with you? Yes, he is. So how are you going to respond? All right, is the Lord with you? Well, this is Joshua. This is the Old Testament. So we look at Hebrews 13:5, quoting this book. And Hebrews 13:5 tells us, I will never leave you or forsake you. This is to all of us. So we can say confidently then, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So here you go. If the Lord's calling us, if the Lord's going to be with us, how do we respond? What can man do to me? I'm not going to fear. It is strong and courageous faith, dear student. You got a hard week? Strong and courageous faith. Talk to God. Lean into him. Let him know what's happening. Matthew 28:20, the last verse I'll leave you with, says this. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. And behold, listen, Jesus' last words. I'm with you. Always, even to the end of the age. Is God with you? Yeah. Does he keep his word? Yeah. So how do we respond? Strong and courageous faith. Here's your main idea. Respond to God's call and presence with strong and courageous faith. We're gonna sing one last song. They're gonna come on up. I'm going to pray, but I want you to know, and I want you to always remember that you are loved. You're loved by all of us here. More importantly, you're loved by your Heavenly Father. And he's with you every moment of every day. Dear Lord, help us to live these truths out. Help us to respond as we should with strong and courageous faith. Help us to live that out in our lives. And when we mess up, help us to confess it to you. And then help us to get up the next day and arise and go. Stay in the course with a long walk in pursuit of you. In Jesus' name, amen.